When we got to New York, Buzz was telling us that we never hear sermons on the restoration and anymore. So I thought this might be an appropriate time to talk about that. My brother Eric had us singing a song the other day that we've never sang, and I'm not fond of doing that, but so I didn't put it up there for tonight. But the words went something like, that's not the title, but one of the verses, and it goes, he brought forth the records forth, unloosed his mighty seal. And I was thinking about that. That he unleashed the mighty seal. And we had a song today about the sealing. And God seals us his. It doesn't mean that seal can't be broken by our vows. But it's a sealing, and that means several things. And I'll get more to what that meant. As you look at the picture there, the records came forth. A part of it, I don't know if you can see it, but they were sealed. The bottom portion of it, and part of it was not sealed. But he says, because the Lord already broke the seal. So, interesting. And I know you've heard some of these things, but if you know everything I'm going to present today, you get a gold star, because I have some challenges in there and some thoughts, and they're my own opinions, and maybe they're true, maybe they're not, but it gets you thinking at least. So, ye wandering nations. So we'll try it again sometime, as long as we have music accompanying. All right, before I get on to that message, I would like to just run down from the last time we met together. We had 58 were killed in Mexico City. That was when I spoke, and then we had another one that, since I spoke last time, it had 361 people, a lot less severe. It wasn't an 8.2 or an 8.1, depending on who you listen to. But it wasn't the biggest in the century, but it killed a lot more people, and it just did that. And so every single week we have some catastrophe around the world. And as I said, they don't even bother denying that these events are happening now, but they label it something. They used to label it global warming, but you won't. That's kind of they hit some traction against that, so they don't call it that. They call it global change now. And one before them called it something different 2,000 years ago. But let us continue. I got some kickback, if you will, from. My sermon that not a member, but one that got some info, whether he watched it or not, and it was God does not cause earthquakes or tempests or hurricanes. And so I thought I would re-hit it for just a couple of minutes today. Hurricanes, what the quote was, or paraphrase, hurricanes are a natural event. God has no part in it. And if you believe that, you're either not equipped to read the Bible or never read it or don't believe in revelations or, something's definitely, you're not a Bible believer because the scriptures are full of it. Doesn't mean he causes everyone. Acts of God, my response, or our response, what it should be. God tells us what our response should be. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. I would ask if somebody challenges you, and I welcome people to challenge me, especially those that don't believe, because it gives us an opportunity to first ask, do you believe in the scriptures? And if so, then you've got them, because the scriptures are full of witnesses. You could ask them, do they believe in Sodom and Gomorrah? Does that event happen? Was that a natural event? And I think right there you have them. Was a flood? Did it happen? Was it a natural event if it did? So we can use the scriptures to defend God. You know, they did it over and over. The apostles did it. They didn't say, well, my opinion is. They would take him right to the scripture. Jesus Christ did that, and the apostles did that over and over again. And that is to be our tool. Jacob says, and the fruit is whose fruit is most bitter, and they begin to grow, ye shall clear away the branches and bring forth bitter fruit, according to the strength of good and the size thereof, and ye shall not clear away the bad thereof all at once. And in another place it says the first one there is from 13. It says the most bitter fruit. So God starts, you know, I gave you the statistics. Very few have died in the United States because of these hurricanes. I mean, the numbers are small compared to around the world, you know, very small. The thousands upon thousands die in Pakistan and that area around there in those foreign countries. But very few in the United States. God has purpose in these disasters. Jeremiah, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And Chris gave me this one. Thanks, Chris. But it shows that whirlwinds or tornadoes, and this would include hurricanes also. I think I don't have it here for some reason, but I went to Strong's, and that would include hurricanes and also tornadoes as far as this. God uses these events. It doesn't mean they don't happen naturally, because we found a few weeks ago, they do. They are natural events. God made that earth like this, just like a decay of the body. You know, not all of our sickness is caused from the devil or God. You know, it is natural for people to have problems. God doesn't have to do that, and nor does the devil. But certainly he can intervene. It's called chastisement when it comes from the devil, or it comes from God. It's called chastisement. And he sometimes wants us to change. We don't change in the Garden of Eden. We don't change. We have to have problems. So whether you're, they used to deny out here somewhere. They used to say, well, these events, you know, they always happened, and we always had these. But since about the year 2000, as you can see, world events, whether it's cyclones, tropical storms, earthquakes, whatever, has skyrocketed. So they don't deny it anymore. You know, they used to say, oh, that baloney in the Bible that predicts these things, you know, these events have always happened. It's just we have better instruments. Well, we have better instruments, sure, but now these events, there's no denying it. They are happening with more frequency. They will blame it on man, and in a certain respect, they're right. It's man's sin that are bringing these events upon us. The hand of God and his protection is being lifted from America. You know, before we were, these events didn't hit us too much. You know, they've always happened in areas of Pakistan, India, and those areas around the Muslim countries where thousands have died. But now these things are starting to come to America. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it needs to be stirred up to repentance. Or the devil will grasp them into his everlasting chains, and they will be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger, which is good, which is that which is good. You know, it doesn't matter your political leanings. There's anger out there, a lot of anger and division. Don't get caught up with it. If you see your blood pressure raise, don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Because that's one of the main tools of the devil. And the Spirit of God doesn't allow an anger. It doesn't prosper you. It doesn't feed you. It doesn't give you thoughts if you're in a spirit of anger. And so be cautious of that. It's a natural thing to be angry, but we're to put a stop to it. And so be careful not to get up caught up in these things. You know, remember, that's the main tool of the devil in these days. You know, God brings these events on us, No doubt. But his purpose is grace. His purpose is to get us to repent. Nobody changes in the Garden of Eden. You have to have events to change your life. And the natural man's an enemy to God. So don't get caught up in rage. Be careful. It's all around us, and it's growing. Every week you're going to see these things now. They're prophesied. Our attitude, one last slide on this, I have to bring up. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So our attitude when we see these things is this. Be cheerful and pleasant. With joy, embrace it. You might say, embrace all these things that are coming upon the earth? You know, how can we do that? This is God talking here. Jesus Christ himself. And he's telling us, your redemption's getting closer. That's what we have to focus on. Not only your redemption, but your brothers and sisters and your loved ones. That's the important part here. Not how long we live. It's the way we live. And this gives us opportunity. It's to bring people to repentance. If they don't have trials in their life, it doesn't bring anybody to repentance. So God is merciful bringing these things up, and we're to look upon these things and rejoice. That these things, the day of our salvation is getting closer. So don't get all depressed about these things. Millions will come to Christ. The Jews have come to Christ because of these events. Isaiah 1:29. Now I want to get back to what I want to talk about here. Woe unto Ariel, Ariel, the city of where David dwelt. Add ye 1 year to year. Let them kill the sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be an heaviness of sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and I will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And when you think of a city, you think of forts. It doesn't make sense. How are you going to raise forts against a city? But it's a battering tower is what he's talking about here. And he will knock down their walls. They have a wall around their city. The first part of this is talking about the city of David in the last day. They're going to be going into captivity. You can look at Zechariah 13, Zechariah 14. Half the city is going to go into bondage. Half it's going to be captive. They're going to have armies. Two-thirds of Israel is going to fall. Zechariah 13. In many other places, but know that Israel is going to go through a time of trouble coming up. It's God is merciful. He wants to bring them to Jesus Christ. And so that's what's going to happen. I've shown you also a scripture here and a walled city of, where is that? Does anybody know? I've been there, but it escapes me. Zerlum? Tulum, thank you. Tulum. And so they had a walled city around that, and now they're discovering the Mayans had walled cities everywhere. All right? Beacon's another one. I've been there. Let us turn to Nephi 11:82. A scripture here, and a walled city of... Second Nephi. Where is that? Does anybody know? I've been there, but the escape is there, Tulum. The first part of that, like I said, is about Ariel. He called him, I can't remember what the name that word means, but it's a city where David dwelt. It's definitely Jerusalem. It's not quoted. It means it's talking about Israel in the last day, and specifically Israel. But the second part, it starts to parallel. And starting at verse 82, I think I'll start before that. I think I'll start before that, actually. I think I'll start in 77. When the Spirit ceases to strive with man, then cometh speedily destruction. And as we're seeing that now, this grieveth my soul. And he spake concerning the convincing of the Jews, that Jesus is the very Christ, it needs be the Gentiles also be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, and that he manifests himself unto all that believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost. We talked a little bit about that. The Lord reaches out. You know, it says the scriptures give us a hope. In James, it tells us to pray if we don't know Christ or don't know if he's true. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost, will make that true to you. And so it talks about in the last day the Jews will be convinced of Jesus as the Christ. You know, it doesn't, for over 1,000 years, they say the Jews were gone. And this message got out starting with 1830 that the Jews, yes, indeed, would come to Christ. They will believe. And the house of Israel, and it's already started. They started to believe in Christ, the house of Israel. We have a lot of church members that are now in the church of Christ, of the house of Israel. Yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, wonders among the children of men, according to their faith. These signs and wonders and even destructions have purpose. They are to bring people to Christ. And, you know, that's the purpose, that no man, no reasonable man that doesn't want to believe can believe. That's the purpose of miracles. But behold, I prophesy you according to the last days, concerning the days when the Lord shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. So clearly, when we get these things, when we got the Book of Mormon, for instance, that is the last day. It's not the time where Paul lived. It is our day. This is the last day that he's going to bring these forth, these miracles, signs, and wonders, and even these things talking about in these destructions, if you will. They are in the last day. And after that my seed and my brethren have dwindled in the belief and have been smitten by the Gentiles. Who's that? Who's the Gentiles there? That'd be us, huh? Yea, after the Lord God shall have camped about us round about and laid siege against them in a mount and raised up forts. That's a direct quote, isn't it? So it applies also as one of those many scriptures in the Bible that have dual meaning. And after they have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and they that dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten, and they which shall be destroyed shall speak to them out of the ground, and their speech shall be low out of the dust, and their voice shall be one that has a familiar spirit. I didn't read that one, but I will soon read it. In the Bible, Isaiah 4 says, and thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that have a familiar spirit. And out of the ground thy speech shall be a whisper out of the dust. What is that? What is that? It's talking about, as we go on, a book to come forth in the last day. Particularly the last day. And that book is what I'm reading from here even now. It is the reason we have many of the house of Israel in the church today, this book. We would have probably none if it wasn't for this book. And we have many, many churches now and the house of Israel that are members because of this book. It's their book. I have more here. 84, out of the Book of Mormon. For the Lord God will give unto him power that he may whisper concerning... I'm on page 146, sorry. I shift gears on you a little bit. I'm right back where I started. For the Lord God will give unto him that he may whisper concerning them, that dead ancient people. Even as they were out of the ground, their speech should whisper out of the dust. Who is he there? Him. Does anybody know? I mean, we're not told, but we can, you know, make an educated guess. Any ideas? For thus saith the Spirit of God, they shall write the things which shall be done unto them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book. And they which have dwindled in unbelief shall have them not, for they shall seek to destroy the things of God. I'll go back to that hymn. Speculation, that's Mormon. He's the one that abridged the Book of Mormon. He you know, y'all have heard of Joseph Smith, right? He didn't write a thing out of the Book of Mormon. Mormon did. Okay. So I think it's Mormon, but a speculation. It's interesting that he's going to seal them up. So they're sealed up unto God. You know, a sealing, like I talked about, can be the Lord. When you make a covenant with Jesus Christ, he seals you his. But when it talks about the Scriptures, it can be several things. It can be something that looks like this.
So I think it's Mormon, but speculation.
Maybe, oh, I didn't go out to it first. It's interesting that he's going to seal. It can be something that looks like that. See those metal seals at the very bottom? That can be a seal placed on books. It can also be knowledge, as is spoken about by Daniel. It can be knowledge that it says, Daniel, seal up the books. So, and it says, seal them up until the time of the end, and then we'll understand them. Then we'll start to understand the words of Daniel at the last day. But before that, they had no idea. You know, for 1,200 years, they didn't even believe Israel was going to be a nation again. You know, we started preaching that in 1830 again. They believed Israel's gone, they'll never come back, no people ever does. You know, this ancient religion. They'll never happen. And every prophecy that talked about Israel was called the church. They says that, then that's replacement theology. And about 70 years later, around the early century of 1900, the Protestants start to believe in that view again. It will happen. They will come to Jesus Christ. They will get a land. They got a land. They will get Jerusalem. They have Jerusalem, and they're going to get more land. They'll get all their land back. So I'm interested in that sealed portion there. I think it's very interesting. We're going to talk about some things. What does that mean when he says he sealed it up? Time period, the last day. Isaiah 29:6, thou shalt be visited with the Lord of hosts, with thunder, with earthquake, with great noise, with storm and tempest, and a flame of devouring fire. I don't know what the devouring fire is. I don't know if it's more, you know, when the land went bad, you know, you can go to the different areas around the national parks, and you can find, you know, as early as 30 A.D., the whole, as far as the eye can see, is devastation. Nothing grows because of lava flows. Just miles upon miles in Idaho. And they say that could even happen in our Yellowstone National Park. But the one I wanted to point out is tempest. That's hurricanes. It's whirlwinds. And that comes out of Strong's. So just for somebody to say that those things aren't caused by God, do not know the Scriptures, because the Scriptures speak of those things and tells them in the last day those things will happen to us to bring us to repentance. All right, 29:11-12. For the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. The book is delivered. And it says to somebody unlearned, and they translated the book. So, but interesting, again, they use the book is sealed. Deliver the books which are sealed unto somebody. So at some point, God unsealed this book. Time period, again, last days. Therefore, behold, I proceed to do a marvelous work among the children of people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. And it goes on to say, it is not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And at that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, and the meekness shall increase with their joy in the Lord, and the poor among the men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Who is that Holy One of Israel?
And it goes on to say, it is not yet a little while, and Lebanon,
Jesus Christ. The Jews are going to come to Jesus Christ. And in the last day, when Lebanon again, I don't know if you can see all the green, it's a little faded on mine, but on this, the computer screen up here, that is green, green, green forest. That's Lebanon. And in about, I didn't look it up myself, but I have somebody that said in 1862, the rains increased in Lebanon 450%. It was a desert wasteland, and today you can see it is green. So in that day, these things will happen. Since 1862, we can date it with Lebanon. And he's going to do a marvelous work and a wonder. That marvelous work and a wonder, it also includes, it concludes the Bible, Book of Mormon, the gospel going forth like we're doing all amongst all nations now. You know, we're in Philippines and we're going to Lagos. And brothers from Africa are coming here 2 weeks from now. And, you know, it's just growing like, you know, I think we had 10 or 11 ministers called and or 12, what was it, 12 or 13 in the last 9 or 10 months. It's growing. And he promised that. But that marvelous work and the wonder not only talks about that, but it talks about these events, these tempests, and these things coming upon the earth. And it provides a fertile ground. It brings people to repentance. You know, all the money in the world and all the things in the world doesn't bring us happiness, and it doesn't bring us to Christ. It's usually the problems in our life that makes us humble, that tunes our ear, that we need something else. We're all going to go by the way. A time of trouble, Israel shall learn the doctrine of salvation from the Gentiles. And we're going through a study right now in Isaiah, and we're going through it's been over a year. It doesn't seem like it, but we've been going over it a year, and we're over halfway done. But marvelous prophecies about the Gentiles bringing in the house of Israel. And like I say, for 1,200 years, that was taught that would never happen. 1832 and thereafter, people are starting to believe that it will happen. Isaiah 29:23 says this, "But when ye seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. And they shall that eared in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." And that's the whole chapter of Isaiah 29 very quickly. But it starts off that Jerusalem's going to have problems again. And from there, the world will have problems. And they've already started, but it's going to be more intense and more severe, as our brother Rick said today. That's coming upon us. And those that murmured against shall learn doctrine. The Jews will accept Jesus Christ. The house of Israel has already started. Many, many churches, like I said. But the Jews have yet to come in great numbers, but they are. It's prophesied in both the Bible and Book of Mormon. They're going to come to understanding and fear the God of Israel, the Holy One of Jacob, which is the Holy One of Jacob?
That's coming upon us.
And, Jesus Christ. I know you know it. And there's one other thing. "Ye shall also suck the milk of the Gentiles and suck the breasts of the kings." Now, what is the milk of the Gentiles? What do they mean by that? Is babes. Yeah, that's right. We're gonna bring them the word. We're gonna bring them the word, and they're gonna learn doctrine. And Hebrews the fifth chapter, you might remember, in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, it says, "Ye have need of milk, but yet you want meat." And so they need the principles of the gospel, and certainly that's what we present out there: the faith, repentance, baptism. They're getting to hear that. Very good growth in the amongst the house of Israel at this time.
We're going to bring them the word.
So they're going to get it from us.
They're going to learn doctrine. And Hebrews,
the start of the latter-day work.
In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, it says,
1 Nephi 3, 20, 236 and 237. When that day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way and fulfilling his covenants which he hath made to his people, which are the house of Israel. And at that, it goes on to say, John will tell you the remainder of this. This is also found, I think, a parallel to this in Revelation 13. I got a little bit of time, so I will turn to it. Revelation 13. And you can ask any Protestant founder. They all believe this. They all believe this right here. And stood the sand of the sea, verse 1, a beast right up of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay, and I saw one, verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as a wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. You can ask any founder. I can find you 100 quotes. Challenge me on that. I can. And all of them would say the same thing. What church is that right there that they're talking about? Catholic. Yeah, Catholicism. It ruled the world for over 1,000 years. And the Protestant founders were living in that. And if they were, tried to write a Bible, they were killed. If they tried to dissent, they were killed. And they lived in a horrible time. But it says that beast, a head wound, struck its power. And it was only, and if you look at verse 5, it says, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power is given unto him to continue 42 months. Other places it says 1260. It gives the time period, a number of years that he was allowed to live and rule the earth. He ruled with an iron fist. Even kings could not rule unless the Pope told them they were allowed. And there's stories you can hear about somebody had to wait outside the gates of the Vatican for four long days and nights waiting for the king's permission so that he could go in and talk to him about being king. And he set up the kings. But that all ended. And that ended, and I got a little verb at the bottom there. It all ended in 1806. This man, Napoleon, rode across and broke up the Holy Roman Empire, and the last of it was found in 1806. And it left a vacuum. And, of course, you can recall that the 680 A.D., 670, what's it come out to be? My math, 670 A.D. Was the year that the Holy Roman Empire was dissolved and the Holy Roman Empire took over. It left a vacuum. The German tribes came in there. The Lombards were the last. They took over Italy, and that stopped the Holy Roman Empire. And then if you read in the Catholic encyclopedias, they will say they filled the void. And they ruled for 1,260 years. And at the end of this, God set up his kingdom again. But nobody disputes who this is in Revelation. So the point I want to make here, at that day shall commence. That starts the work. It's prepared. He takes out these kings, and then it prepares a way that the new gospel could come forward. And they all looked up to that. They knew that would happen, all the Protestant leaders. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. 428 in the Book of Mormon, page 707.
The point I want to make here, at that day shall commence. That starts the work. prepare. He takes out these kings, and then it prepares the way that the new gospel could come.
Start off with verse 28. Yea, behold, I say unto you that those saints which have gone forth before me, which have possessed the land, shall cry, yea, even from the dust will they cry unto the Lord. As the Lord liveth, he will remember the covenant which he has made unto them. You know, that's a quote out of somewhere. Where is that a quote out of? Which book in the Bible?
Start off with verse 28.
Isaiah 29? Verse 4. Okay. Verse 33 says this. And then we can run down through these. I won't read all these. 33 I'll start. And no one seed it shall not come forth, for they surely shall. For the Lord has spoken it. Out of the earth they shall come by the hand of the Lord, and none shall stay it. It shall come in a day that miracles are done away, even as one should speak from the dead. You know, for 1,000 years, nobody believed that you could have a spiritual dream. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you know, they did not believe that God spoke to man anymore. No spiritual dreams whatsoever. They all talked about it, you know, whether it's Wesley or Wesley's brother or all the Protestant founders. They look forward to the day God would give us spiritual dreams again, give us prophecies, give us the gifts of God. You know, they look forward to that day. And they were done away when the Book of Mormon came forth. And they said, oh, the guy's mad. We don't have these things anymore in 1830. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of the secret combinations and the works of darkness. Is that a quote from somewhere else you find in the Bible? That the blood of the saints shall cry from the dust. Anybody know that one? I'll bring it to your remembrance later. And yea, it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied and the churches are defiled and everyone lifted up in the pride of their hearts. When leaders of the church, pride of their hearts and to envyings those that belong to the church. And it's coming a day when there shall be heard fires. Here, I want you to pay attention. Yet it shall come in a day when there shall be heard fires, tempests. There it is again. Tempests and vapors of smokes in foreign lands. You know, they quote that vapors in foreign lands, some of the church leaders. And you showed when we had our first war with Iraq, and the sky was full of black smoke. And this comes out of other scriptures in the Bible. And they would say, that's what they're talking about. And that very well could be. Very well could be. Or it could be yet things to come. And there shall be heard wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. Where is that quoted from? That's not a quote, but where is that also found in? What book of the Bible?
And this comes out of other scriptures in the Bible. And they would say, that's what they're talking about.
Part of that is, we just quoted the tempests and the things were quoted in Isaiah. What's the last part of that? Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. Anybody know where we find that part?
That's not a quote.
Matthew. Absolutely. That is not an exact quote, but it's written exactly the same way. That can't happen. Those words put together exactly that way, in that manner. I would say Matthew is exactly, you know, the author is Jesus Christ on that. It can only happen that way. So that time period that we're talking about, when these things come forth, put on your hats here. Because that's when these events happen. So it places Matthew 24 at the time, starting with the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. That's what we're talking about here. They shall come forth in that day when there shall be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. So that started in 1830. And then shall come a day when there shall be great pollutions on the earth. But and there shall be murders, robbings, lyings, deceivings and whoredoms and all manners of abominations. And many which say, do that or do this or do that, it mattereth not, the Lord shall uphold such at the last day. That's exactly the message you hear out there today. It doesn't matter what you do as sin. Everybody's going to make it. As long as you make a covenant with Jesus Christ and just believe that until the end, you're going to be saved. Saved by grace. And, you know, that message is so false. You know, we could spend, there's so many scriptures against that. You know, they've changed the one in Corinthians. They've now changed that, the meaning of that. And it's blasphemy. They take 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it says, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or an Ephamite, that's a male prostitute, it can be, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuality, nor thieves, and you can read that in other translations, they'll say homosexuality, so it's not just the King James, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivals, nor extorters shall inherit the kingdom of God. Simple. Simple stuff to interpret. You know, you can be a child and understand that. You know, if you do those things, you're not going to go to God. But they change the meaning. They say, such were some of you, but ye are washed, and ye have become sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. They says, now you can do those things because you're washed. You're justified now. What a bunch of baloney. So that's what they're doing. They're changing the Word of God to a fable so that everybody can make it. You don't have to repent anymore. Verse 55 and 56. It goes on to say, and why do you build up... Ooh, I got loud. And why do you build up your... Why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain, to cause widows and to mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of your fathers and your husbands shall cry unto the Lord for vengeance upon your head. For behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you. At the time he shall avenge the blood upon you. He will not suffer the cries to be heard any longer. It's another quote about that coming from the dust, and he'll listen to the people that are have gone the way that they, you know, the secret abominations could be mafia, it could be gangs in that nature is what we're talking about. But the people that are killed, the righteous people, will cry up from the ground to take vengeance. And where do we find that in the Bible?
He will not suffer the cries to be heard.
We will get there. All right, Ether 1:13 through 15. And then he said, my revelations which I caused to be written by my servant John, who's that?
In that nature is what we're talking about.
Shall be unfolded up to the eyes of all the people. Remember, when you see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed. I want to stop right there. I want you to get your head around this. Right. You know, what is he saying there? Who is John, first of all?
Through 50. And then he said,
yes. Thank you, Mary. He's John the Revelator. He was given a commandment to write revelations. And, you know, these things written by John will take place. It says, when ye see these things, when you see these things right here, ye shall know the time is at hand, when they shall be made manifest indeed. The things are revelations. When you read these things. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye know that the work of the Father has commenced. So it started it. It started the last day. It started the work of the gospel coming to the Gentiles and then from the Gentiles to the Jews and the house of Israel. That commenced it. He took out the Roman You know, I just read it in Romans 13. Then he took down their power, it left a vacuum that the gospel of Jesus Christ could come back. And that's when the work of the Father takes it back to the house of Israel. It started. It commenced at that time. Therefore, repent, ye all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and believe in my gospel and be baptized. The fundamental core is to make people covenant through baptism and repentance. That repentance isn't saying I'm sorry and going back to it. Repentance is changing your life, putting off those things that will not inherit the kingdom of God.
It started. It commenced at that time.
But remember, when you see these things, the time is at hand for revelations. Now I get back to that quote. It says, the ancient rite come forth, unloose the mighty, mighty seal. Let us turn over to Revelations 5.
Changing your life. Putting off those things that will not...
And here's where I'm going to dip into speculation. It's not... If you don't want to go for this way, but I'll give you something to think about. It doesn't matter. It's not a salvation issue. It's not very important, but if you care to look into these things... Verse 5, 1 says this, and he saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and that's God the Father, a book written on the backside sealed with seven seals. And he saw this angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? Verse 9, and they sung a new song. It talks about the 24. You know, I think those are the apostles on this earth. They went up to heaven, and all the apostles, the first, they weren't called apostles, but the disciples on this land, I think, are the 24. Speculation on my part. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain, and thou hast been redeemed us to God. But my blood." Has redeemed us to God by thy blood, and out of every kindred and every tongue and every nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Okay, who is worthy, first of all? Who's going to unseal this book? Who is that? Maybe I didn't read it. Christ, thank you. Christ is worthy. He unseals these books. And so these 24 elders, that it says in the second part of that, he has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. What does that mean? Here they're up in heaven. Are they going to reign on earth again? Absolutely. They're going to be kings and priests on earth, and they're going to reign. And so will we someday, you know. We may never go to heaven, but we will reign on earth, those righteous. Because heaven is coming down to earth soon. And here's my speculation on my part. I think that book that's written on both sides, I think it's one and the same of the Book of Mormon. Those events started coming forth in 1830. And you can find numerous scriptures to say that when that it commenced at that time. You know, when he unbound that knowledge, it changed everything. It changed our knowledge of that Israel would have a nation again, that the Jews would have Jerusalem again, that the house of Israel would be known and come to Christ, and they're starting to do so. It just opened up. We knew that this nation would be the strongest nation on earth. And at that time, we were 10 million strong, and well, we were 12 million, but 2 million of them were slaves. But that country was promised to be the world power of the world that would take the gospel to Israel. So it unleashed so much knowledge at that time. It just changed that we have to get back to that baptism is important, that faith is important, that you can't just... make a simple covenant and that it's all done. We have to endure the gospel. And it's through faith, repentance, baptism. And then we endure in faith, hope, and charity. That brings us salvation, not one thing alone. So that changed the world. And my speculation is that the first six were unleashed, and they're unleashed in the time, and I'll explain it more in detail. But the seventh one, that one you've seen still on there, still remains. That's the seventh seal. And that's just, it's fun stuff, but don't worry if you don't buy into that. That's okay. But, you know, that speculation on my part also, if you read the references in your Bible, and probably in mine particularly, it says, I saw on the right hand of him a throne and a book written on the backside and sealed with seven seals. If you read the reference, where do you think that goes in my Bible?
It
goes to Isaiah 29, verse 4. That same book. And we know what book that is. So maybe I'm not so far out there. I wasn't the first to come up with it, but I believe it's true. I believe that's the book they're talking about, found in the New Testament and Old Testament. And the authors here agreed they're the same book. All right, so let us compare Revelation 6, 1 through 4 here. Turn the page if you must, if you have to. I don't have to. And he saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it was a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon it had a bow. And crown was given him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. And he went in another horse, which was red, and the power was given him that sat thereon to take peace away from the earth, that they should kill one another, and it was given him a great sword. And I'll stop right there. You know, many of movies read these scriptures and then have some interesting type of movie. But let me give you what Matthew says, I think, is a parallel. And we've already found that the Book of Mormon tells us those events in Matthew started in about 1830. Let us read Matthew 24. Right, keep your place here because I'm coming back to it. I'm going to be going back and forth.
Read these scriptures and then have some interesting type of movie. But
Matthew 6 and 7 says this, And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. The question is, coming up here that he's identifying, what is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Okay, so that's the question he's answering. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, but be not troubled, for these things shall come, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and I'll stop there. I think that parallels Revelations. Let me go on in Revelations. And when I had opened the third seal, I heard the beast saying, come and see. And I beheld a black horse, and he that sat upon him with a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice of him, the four beasts, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure of barley for a penny. See thou not hurt the oil and wine. Those are religious things, the oil and wine, sacred to God. And he doesn't want the earth hurt. But these are, you know, this. They say that this, commentators agree that this is a time of famine, that it takes so much money just to buy that much wheat and barley, that that's a day's wage just to be able to feed yourself. So famine. And these things, if you read the next verse, which I, these are the beginning of earth, or in Matthew 7, it says this, and there shall be famines. Okay? That's the same thing we're talking about here. These famines are the next thing to hit. And it's not all at one particular date. You can't say, okay, that's the day of the famines. These things, how do they happen in Matthew? That's the key to understanding these things.
If you read
They happen over time, and they become as birth pains. It says here, it says it's the beginning of sorrows, but if you take that back to the Greek, in other translations, it says birth pains. These happen more frequently and stronger as time goes on. All these things, like these wars, it started off with Napoleon. He broke up the Holy Catholic Church, if we will, the Holy Roman Empire. And then from there, we've had nothing but. We've had two world wars since that. They're becoming closer together. They're becoming more powerful. And we're at the cusp of even something greater. So all these things become more frequent. I could give you chart after chart. They've increased in size. You know, there was no 8-point earthquakes only every 5 years. Now we're getting them. We've had two this year. Every year we're getting 8-point earthquakes. More intense. Pestilence, the next thing. In Matthew 7. It says, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name that sat upon him was Death. And hell followed him. And power is given him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, to kill with hunger, and to kill with death, with the beasts of the earth. How do you kill with death? How do you kill with death? You know what that word means in other translations? It's translated in the King James as death. They all knew what that meant back then, but we don't. Our English has changed. Death is pestilence. So that same thing. It follows. The same things happen in order. So the fourth thing that is unsealed here is pestilence. And I could turn to charts. That is, again, it's happening more and more frequently. So I can turn to the charts and show you that I think a very high percentage of a certain class, certain age group, like it's 25 to 40, you know what one of the most biggest killers is? Pestilence, AIDS. AIDS is one of the strongest killers, and I think it's the fifth largest killer in the United States. I'd have to get that statistics out, but it's a huge number of deaths, pestilence, and it's becoming more frequent, and it's becoming, you know, they didn't even talk about some of the diseases we used to get because the other ones have taken over. Which one do I want to read first? I already talked about Nephi there. That's parallel verse. Let's go to the next screen. I'm not going to read the Book of Mormon ones. I've already written that. They're parallel to this event. The same time period, the same things talked about. I think I'm about my last slide here. Matthew 24:7, 5 through 8. It says, when I heard these open the third seal, I heard the boy, the black, I've got that far. And pale the horse that sat on him was death. Okay, I've got that. 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw all the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and their testimony which they held. And that's when I kept asking you, where is that written? And this is the time period. It ties in the Book of Mormon references is what I was trying to show you there. And in Matthew, we turn over to Matthew. It says that in verse 10, and then shall many be offended and pray and betray one another, and they shall be hated one another. Verse 9, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and ye shall be hated by of all nations for my name's sake. That has a dual meaning. Not only did it happen to the Jews, but it will happen. It's happening to the Christians. Just look at the Jews, Christians in Syria, on the web. But don't look at that. But just listen. They're being killed in very, very bad ways. There's a lot of statistics. It's hard to be a Christian and live in Korea, for instance, North Korea, for instance. That persecution is going on. Remember, it's going to continue to go on and become more frequent. I'm going to skip down. They were given, verse 11, and they were given white robes, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little while until their fellow servants Also, their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. You know, he's going to take vengeance on not past generations. It's happening at that time period. These events are happening now and happening in the future, or he would not take vengeance on the people of the earth for past crimes. So it's happening. It's happening then. It's going to happen in our future more frequently, and more persecution is coming. Trust me. Trust the word of God here. And he opened the sixth seal, verse 12, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And you'll find that written three times, and Joel is one of them, but it's not written in Matthew. And the stars of heaven shall fall to the earth, even as a fig casts forth her untimely figs when she is shaken with a mighty wind. And again, a fig is represented of Israel. And you can turn over to Matthew 24. It says, when ye therefore should see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, who that readeth, let him understand. Then let them in Judea flee into the mountains. That event could only happen till 70 AD or right now. They did not have Israel. So it's the Jews are going to go in, and this is talking about the time of the end. Because just go ahead four verses and you find the Son of Man's coming. So we know this time is the time of the end. All right. So that's what's going to happen. The figs are representative of a secular Israel. Just three or four more verses here. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks and the mountains, saying, unto the mountains, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that is throne, and the wrath of God, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? If you just turn over, I won't do it, but it calls that day starting tribulation. Tribulation days. And after the great earthquake there, people realize at that time that this is God's wrath. It's not global warming. It's not global change. It's not climate change. It's the wrath of God. People will identify it at that time. You know, after that great earthquake that shakes all of the earth, they'll realize, no, God's trying to get us to repent. And the great day of tribulation, turn over to Matthew 24, then shall be great tribulation, as was not seen since the beginning of the world, no ever shall be. And just after that, probably 3.5 years, the Lord comes in the sky immediately after the tribulation. So all those events are coming on as fast, they're becoming more frequent. And I do have ether that I have. No, I've already read that. These events are parallels. Much of it's, I hope it's...
Then shall be great tribulation, as was not seen since the beginning of the world.
Last slide.
Ever shall be.
It says, once again, when we see all these events, the whole thing, it says, we're lift up your heads as we see the work going forward and our prophecies unfolded for our eyes. You know, we're to look upon these things and know that God has a plan. And it's grace. He wants to bring people in and repent of their evil lifestyles. If he doesn't do that, where do they go? They don't go to heaven. And, you know, that's forever and ever and ever. And we can't even get our head around forever and ever and ever. So he's doing these things, you know, to get people to repent. If they lose their homes, it's sad to us. But if they have all their wealth and they... don't repent, that's even sadder, isn't it? So for us Christians, we're to know that God has purpose in these things, and it's his kindness that he's bringing these things about it. Because otherwise, people are not going to make it. They're not going to repent. They're going to live their lives for wealth. One more verse. Graft in the branches, begin at the last, that they may be the first, and that the first may be the last. Dig about these trees, both old and young, and the first may be the last, and the last may be the first, that all may be nourished once again this last time. And what that tells us, all of our brothers and sisters of the house of Israel down in Yucatan, down in Mexico, down in Honduras, the many, many churches we have down in that area, he began with the house of Joseph, but he's working his way to the house of the Jews. And it will be done. And after that, it's going to happen to the rest of the house of Israel. And you can just look in, if I would have turned over to Revelation 7, it says, right after that starts, he says, hurt not the earth until I sealed in their hearts all these 144,000 house of Israel. And that's sealed is through baptism and laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is just starting, but it's going to boom. It is going to boom. What we have now is going to be peanuts compared to the house of Israel, which is the millions upon millions will come to Jesus Christ. So that's going to be, that's our bare hope. That's got, we can't get sad with all these other things. We have to realize this is all part of that, the Lord calls his marvelous work and his wonder. It's starting to take place. Read Isaiah 29 and you'll understand that.